Now, if you picture a railroad crossing, chances are the image includes safety equipment, stuff like a gate or flashing lights. But many railroad crossings don't have those features, which can put drivers at risk. And after trains started running on Wisconsin's Plymouth to Kohler rail line after almost 30 years, one collision and other near misses led to a push to get those safety measures installed at its six road crossings. Peyton Guyon is an investigative reporter with New Jersey Advanced Media. He spent 9 months in Wisconsin as the O'Brien Fellow in Public Service Journalism at Marquette University. He's looked into safety at railroad crossings across the country. Peyton, thanks a lot for joining us today.
Hey, thanks for having me. Glad to be here.
Before we dig into this particular rail line here in Wisconsin that you focused on in a piece that appeared in the Journal Sentinel, can you tell us about this wider issue around the country? We've got a fair amount of lines. They come back into action, and they don't always get the safety stuff we expect.
Sure. So the project I was working on was a national look at railroad crossing safety. And what I had come across a few years back was just that this was kind of an issue that, since railroad crossings are all over the country, anyone who drives regularly drives over them all the time. And they kind of go to the back of our mind. Safety is not the first thing that we think about. And so what I started noticing was there were several issues where crossing safety was not one of the biggest considerations made, in many cases where it should be and where federal guidelines suggest it should be. And that's something where this Plymouth to Kohler line that was put back in service kind of came up. I wanted a local story as part of the project. I was working with some students at Marquette, and you know, this issue in Plymouth came to our attention, and we had to dig in.
All right, give us the history of this Plymouth to Kohler line and how it came back into action.
Sure, and this kind of this is sort of a microcosm of the ebbs and flows of the railroad industry as a whole. So back in the 19th century, the late 19th century, the line was set up more as a commuter line. It would take, it's the passenger line, passenger line. But as the car kind of rose and less people started taking the train as a form of transportation, it switched to freight. But then by the late 70s, early 80s, that business had kind of dried up as the rail industry as a whole was going through some economic challenges and some consolidations. And then so some of the secondary or tertiary lines like Plymouth to Kohler, were sort of out of use. And that's where state government, local government sort of stepped up and started raising the money to put these lines back in service just as a way for economic preservation, making sure, businesses in rural parts of states that didn't have a primary rail line weren't just completely isolated from freight transportation.
So here comes the Plymouth Kohler line back into action. What did it take to take that dormant line and bring trains on it again?
So in as a monetary figure, took right about $20 million. And this came both from, it was primarily state money, both in loans and grants. But it also came as part of some local funding was raised, $2 or $3 million, both from Sheboygan County, Plymouth, Sheboygan Falls, and then there were some local businesses that stood to benefit from the line reopening that also pitched in a little bit of money. So about $20 million is what it took financially. Sort of practically speaking, there were crossings that had actually rails had been ripped from the road. The tracks were no longer there. So there was some installation that had to happen at some of these crossings. And that was, one of the things that just seemed sort of crazy to me is that they would put these tracks back in the road where for almost three decades, drivers had not, had grown accustomed to not seeing trains. Trains, in fact, could not run there when the rails weren't there. But they reopened these lines this line without proper safety equipment.
And you talked to some local residents about near misses and incidents there. What kind of things did you hear?
I mean, it was almost without fail. I took my students. I had three students that were working with me at Marquette University on this project. Two of them came up with me in December just to kind of do some on the ground reporting. So we spent the day just driving around to these different crossings, knocking on doors, talking to neighbors, and I think we probably spoke to 12, 15 different people, and all but one just told us that repeatedly they had either with their own eyes seen or talk to neighbors about seeing people coming across the tracks without slowing down and almost getting hit by a train. And it's the fact that trains don't even run all that often on the line You know, two or three times a week, trains are coming through. For just about everybody to have a story like that in only a few years' time just struck us as really problematic.
And these are road crossings with, as I understand it, no signal, no bar, not much of anything. Was that what local officials had in mind when they ponied up to help pay for this thing?
So we talked to a few local officials who, you know, when they were first thinking about it, they were thinking about the economic benefits of it, you know, being able to tell residents and businesses, you know, that they were going to have access to rail transport or to freight transportation via the railroad. And so, you know, the former city manager of Plymouth, who has since left his job to take another one somewhere else in the country, told us that, you know, they were all thinking about it on the, you know, the 30,000 foot level and kind of the safety. They left to the Wisconsin Office of the Commissioner of Railroads, the Wisconsin DOT, and it sort of by the time, you know, it got finished, it was like, oh my gosh, we don't have anything protecting these drivers from trains.
Is there any kind of effort out there, especially at the most used crossings you looked at, to get some safety measures in place?
Yeah, so Plymouth did was they hired a consultant to come in, and this is a guy who worked for the Wisconsin Office of the Commissioner of Railroads, essentially the state rail regulator, had worked for them for years, and he had retired and came in as a consultant, and he recommended that of the six crossings in Plymouth that had been reopened, five needed flashing lights and automatic gates, and of course none have them. So, you know, in considering this petition, the state did agree to upgrade one, but it had to wait until 2023, but, you know, just because that's when the funding would be available to it. So the town was really left, you know, to take care of the problem itself. And in January, they approved a flashing stop sign at one of the crossings that had been problematic that we brought up in our story. But the flashing stop sign, even if that is an improvement, still doesn't quite meet what the town was asking for, and in many cases, what federal regulations recommend.
In our last minute, Peyton, this is Plymouth, Wisconsin. Is this something that local officials elsewhere in the country are struggling with right now, how to make these crossings at least a little safer?
And if we're talking about the wider issue as opposed to, instead of simply when these lines are reopened, I mean, absolutely. I think a lot of your listeners will probably think that crossings that don't have flashing lights and gates are probably not used. And that's not the case whatsoever. It's something like 40% of all railroad crossings in the entire country do not have any active warning devices, will not warn you when a train is coming. This is something local officials often fight with both state departments of transportation and the railroads themselves to try to get upgraded. And unfortunately, not enough is getting done.
Peyton, thanks a lot for sharing your reporting with us today.
Really appreciate you guys having me. Thanks so much.
That's Peyton Guyon, investigative reporter with the New Jersey Advance Media. He's a former O'Brien Fellow in Public Service Journalism at Marquette University. He talked with us about an effort to get safety features installed at railroad crossings in the Plymouth area and how it fits into the issue of railroad safety nationwide.